For you were a sheep straying, but you be converted now to the pastor and bishop of your souls. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is Good Shepherd Sunday, and the Catholic Church can also be called the sheepfold of Christ. It is in the Catholic Church where Christ teaches his sheep. He feeds them, he heals them and their wounds, and he guides them to heaven. Unfortunately, the image of the Church as a teacher and shepherd who guides as well as reproves is an image pretty much disappeared from the minds of men. We are entering into an area of even bigger confusion now, when there 2 days ago came a voice from Rome which told the sheep that those who willingly live in a relation not sanctified by holy sacrament of matrimony can still be in the state of sanctifying grace and free from mortal sin. Is this the voice which is spoken by the Good Shepherd and Pastor of God's Church? Fortunately, our Lord has promised us today in the Gospel, I am the Good Pastor. The Good Pastor giveth his life for his sheep. They shall hear my voice, and there shall be made one fold and one pastor. The Good Pastor is he whose special care is not for his own advantage or that of the world, but of the safety and salvation of the flock. On Septuagesima Sunday, I told you about Solomon and his unwillingness to submit to the voice of God in relation to abandon his worship of false gods. Today I'll tell you about Solomon's father, King David, who lived in an irregular relationship, and in what manner one good pastor dealt with him. David was a great and glorious king, and a man according to heart of God. But perhaps his very glory and success caused David to become idle in God's service. One day, when David was standing idle and looking from the roof of his house down upon the people, he saw Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah, one of his captains in the army. But instead of at once turning his eyes from her and thinking of God's commandment, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, David allowed an evil desire to grow in his heart. It was even more evil because Uriah was a brave captain of king's army and very devoted to David's service. Then, instead of resisting this sinful desire and calling on God for help against the temptation, the king consented to it, and sending for Bathsheba, he induced her to be unfaithful to her husband. David in this manner sinned against the 9th and 6th commandments, and his evil desire also made him sin against the 5th commandment. He wrote to one of his generals to put Uriah in the front line of the next battle, so that he would surely be killed. So did David kill Uriah? Not directly, but his urgent command was the cause of his death, so that David really killed him by the hands of the Amorites, as much as the Jews really crucified our Lord through the hands of the pagan soldiers. So Uriah fell in battle, and David took Bathsheba as his wife. And as the scripture says, this thing which David had done was displeasant before our Lord. Therefore, God sent prophet Nathan to the king. Nathan told David about an incident in his kingdom, how a rich man who had many sheep had robbed a poor man of his only lamb in order to give a big party for his guest. David grew angry of hearing at so heartless conduct. He asked Nathan, who was this evil man, saying, he shall die. And then, in an incident which, outside the Passion of our Lord, is perhaps the most dramatic in the Holy Scripture, Nathan pointed David and said to him, thou art that man. Thus saith our Lord, the God of Israel, I anointed thee to be king over Israel, and I delivered thee from the hand of Saul, and have given thee the house of Israel and Judah. Why therefore hast thou condemned the word of the Lord, that thou wouldst do evil in my sight? Urias the Hethite thou hast smitten with the sword, and his wife thou hast taken to thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. For which thing the sword shall not depart from thy house for ever, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Urias the Hethite to be thy wife. For thou hast done it secretly, but I will do this word in the sight of all Israel, and in the sight of the sun. David was thunderstruck by this speech. But unlike his son Solomon, David confessed his fault and asked pardon of the Lord. And God, seeing the sorrow and remorse of David, ordered Nathan to tell him that his sin was forgiven. And Nathan spoke, our Lord also hath taken away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Nevertheless, because thou hast made the enemies of our Lord to blaspheme, for this thing the son that is born to thee, dying shall die. The most terrible chastisement inflicted on David was the ingratitude and rebellion of his son Absalom. When David heard of Absalom's revolt, he decided to leave Jerusalem so that its citizens would not suffer for his sake. And having left the city with his attendants, he came to Mount Olivet, where he wept for the guilt of his son and for his own sins. On the side of Mount Olivet, he was met by a man named Semei of the family of Saul, who started to throw stones at him and cursed him. Come forth, thou man of blood, and man of Belial. Abishai, David's military commander, being furious of this insult, said to him, why curseth this dead dog my lord the king? I will go and strike off his head. But David said, behold, my son that came out of my womb seeketh my life. How much more one of the house of Saul? Let him alone, that he may curse according to the precept of our Lord. If perhaps our Lord may respect mine affliction, and our Lord may render me good for this day's cursing. And so the great, once so mighty king departed from Mount Olivet, like his descendant Jesus 1,000 years after him, with Semei at his heels, cursing him and casting stones and dirt toward him. Dear faithful, Nathan's words were the words what a true shepherd of souls speaks to a strayed sheep. The apostolic exhortation of Prophet Nathan contains less than 400 words in the Douay Bible, but it preached the true mercy to David, because God proclaims his mercy only conjoined with his justice. Had Nathan been a Protestant preacher, he would have only proclaimed David's sins forgiven, and both of them would have started to praise the Lord. Had he been the proponent of the new religion, he would have said some consoling words and let David's conscience be the judge. But no, Nathan proclaimed the true mercy of God, conjoined to his justice. He said it plain and simple, "Why hast thou condemned the word of the Lord, that thou wouldst do evil in my sight?" David was certainly forgiven, but nevertheless he had to undergo many temporal punishments, mainly at the hands of his own children. David is the model of a true and obedient son of the Church, who listens the voice of the Good Shepherd and pastor. Though he was a king, he humbly accepted Nathan's reproaches and contritely confessed his sin. On this Good Shepherd Sunday, ask yourself, do I ever shrink from doing the will of the Church when my own shepherds speak to me as Nathan did? David, an Israelite, bitterly repented and bewailed his sin. I am a Christian, but where are my tears of repentance? As Saint Peter writes us today, "For you were as sheep straying, but you be converted now to the pastor and bishop of your souls." A sheep without a shepherd to protect it is a pitiful sight. It has no guide to good pastures and stands in great danger of being eaten by the wild beasts. You all know, most of you from personal experience, that we Catholics are often in state of confusion because now there is no Pope, and this scourge has been a source of great distress to Christ's flock. But Saint Peter, who wrote these words, he himself was the Pope, and he reminded his readers and also us that we are part of the flock of Christ himself, the supreme and invisible head of the Church, who shall never cease ruling us from heaven. What an ordinary shepherd does for his sheep, Christ does for his followers. Our heavenly pastor and bishop, Jesus Christ, feeds his sheep with life-giving truth, which the Church continues, even now, after all the centuries and millennia, through the successors of the apostles, our bishops and priests, and defends them and brings them to heaven. You can read from our today's bulletin the beautiful words of Sister Emiliana Lehr, how Christ comes as a pastor and wounds himself, fights with the wild beasts to snatch the sheep led astray from Satan's mouth. So we, dear faithful, we have nothing to fear as long as we keep listening and obeying the voice of our dear Church. But how hard and aching situation it must be for those sheep still clutched in the new religion, who think that the words published 2 days ago from Rome come from a true pastor. Every Catholic who thinks they do needs to ask himself, do I listen to my pastor and shepherd at once and without arguing? Or is it only when he scolds me and is angry when I obey, like King David did? When the shepherd speaks, the sheep are obliged to listen and obey. When Saint Pius X was still the Patriarch of Venice, he once preached, the Pope represents Jesus Christ himself, and therefore is a loving father. Catholics address the priest as father, and the word Pope also means father. And anybody who has ever had a father knows that when he acts mildly, lovingly, and supportingly, we all wish his power would be endless. It is another thing when his words are harsh and meant as reproof, and when he demands us to submit our own will to his. In the Catholic Church, there is no room for resistance to the pastor and shepherd, whether it be the invisible and eternal one, that is our Lord, or visible and temporal one. Resistance is as un-Catholic as it is anarchical, because it pretends that it is a handful of persons in the Church and not her divinely constituted head and chief pastor that are to preserve and interpret her doctrines. No matter what kind of a Catholic you are, you have to recognize that the faithful sheep in search of the lost shepherd is a very grim and grotesque image of the Catholic Church, and absolutely alien to the words of Christ to Saint Peter, the first Pope, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath required to have you for to sift as wheat, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and thou once converted, confirm thy brethren. Ask yourselves today, dear faithful and dear Catholics, do you really belong to the sheepfold of the one true pastor? Or could it be that you have the name of a Catholic without the reality? Do you own your love and spirit of servitude to him who has given his life for you on the cross? Have you always been attentive to his voice? Have you listened when he has called? Prophet Nathan waited the thorny path of penance and mortification against the forbidden pastors. And David heard the voice of his pastor and abandoned his sinful pleasures. The Church has often likewise weighed to us, the pastors of heaven, against the deserts of the world and pleasure. Which one have you chosen? In the presence of God, who knows and sees all things, you might, perhaps, have to confess with grief that the voice of a stranger and a hireling has silenced the loving voice of Jesus. If any one of you, my dear listeners, has been deluded in this way in the past, return today to the true sheepfold, because our Lord still calls you to his flock. With King David, raise your eyes to heaven, the dwelling place of your Creator and Father, and say, I have strayed as a sheep that is lost. Seek thy servant, because I have not forgotten thy commandments. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.